So I want to praise God now for my testimony. And the first verse I want to read out of the Bible is Psalm 71. It's actually two verses, verses 5 and 6. I've trusted you from childhood. Yes, you have been with me from birth and helped me constantly. In 1942, I was born into a Christian home, surrounded by loving people. I'll start off with my parents. They were desperate for me to survive because they'd had two children before I was born. One had a long cord and was strangled at birth, and one just breathed for a few days and that was it. So when I survived, there was great rejoicing everywhere. And my grandparents, they were rejoicing. And they spent a lot of time with me one way or another. And my maternal grandmother, I used to spend afternoons with her while my mother went back to teaching. She couldn't teach when she was first married, but during the war, they wanted her back. So she did part-time, and I spent time with her mum. And, you know, she sang to me, and she sang hymns, and I really remember those. It's "I Found a Friend, Oh Such a Friend," and "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's amazing, really, how these things stick in your mind. And then we went to Bethel Methodist Church at the bottom of Waterloo Road. I think it's Broadhurst Pottery now. And we went there every Sunday and throughout the week. So Sunday morning started with Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And then we went into the service at 10:45. And then I used to go to my father's mother, who lived quite near to the church, and stayed with her for lunch. And then she organised a couple of ladies opposite to take me to Sunday school in the afternoon. So I went back in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. Then we went back at 6 o'clock to meet up with my parents. So you can tell the whole day was virtually at Bethel Methodist. And then I was surrounded by friends. In fact, I've got one friend that I met at Sunday school at 2:30, and we're still friends today. And then, of course, there were youth club leaders and teachers. And basically, because of all their examples demonstrated to me, I became fully involved in the church. It wasn't long before I was a Sunday school teacher, a youth group leader. I played the organ for 20 years. I was treasurer of the Methodist Church circuit in Burslem, which was 19 churches. I led Bible study groups at home. I worked in charity shops. I remember there was one somewhere up Waterloo Road. I used to go there frequently. I helped with Meals on Wheels. And apart from that, I trained as a primary school teacher. And all the time, I read the Bible on a daily basis and I prayed. I actually thought I was doing the right thing. But I knew all about Jesus, but I didn't really know him personally. I'm going to jump from then now right up to the 1990s. We had a Share Jesus mission at Salem. That was organised by the minister, who was quite go ahead, really. And this team came from all over the British Isles. There was a young girl who was 16, had only just come to know the Lord. In fact, she told us that her mother was a white witch, whatever that is. We had young people in their 20s. We had a college lecturer who was the college in Ireland at Edge Hill, which was a Christian college, and a retired local preacher in his 70s. So you can see it was a right mixed bag right the way through the age group. Well, two of the young men stayed in a caravan outside my driveway. It was a friend of mine parked his caravan there. So they stayed in there. And two of the young ladies stayed inside with me. And as a result, my home became the base. I was out at school all day teaching, so my home was available. They went out as a group. They went out to schools and took assemblies. They went into old folks' homes, they went pastoral visiting, and they did Bible study. And then every night they congregated at my home. And I was invited to join in with them after they'd had the business meeting as such, because they always finished off with an epilogue. Wow. Was there some power there? Oh, I can even feel it now. And it just left me wanting more and more. By now, Burslem Elim had come to join us at Salem. We had Salem service in the morning, the Methodist, and then Burslem Elim came at night and had their service. I think it was 5:30, if I remember rightly. And I saw a different side to things. And then I was introduced to Alfred, who was an African pastor, and he led a group of people at St. George's Church in Newcastle. While I was so desperate to find out more, I went there on a Sunday afternoon. And that's where I learned all about Alfred. Alfred learned that in London, in Holy Trinity, Brompton, there was a fellow there who was doing this Alpha, and he wanted to find out more about it. So he got in touch with Nicky Gumbel and said, would you come and show us how to run Alpha? And Nicky Gumbel said, I've never shown anybody how to do it, only the people here. But if you will organise accommodation, then I'll send a team up to show you what we do. Well, of course, they wanted people to volunteer for accommodation. So my hands shot up straight away because I loved having people there. And I had Pauline and Anna from Holy Trinity Brompton staying with me. And they came for a long weekend, and we met Nicky Gumbel and he trained us and gave us an idea what Alpha was all about. So that was the beginning of Alpha in my life. I'm not going to dwell on that now, because if anybody wants to know more about it, I can tell you about that after. But in 1993, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Actually, it was lupus. And all the time, I was in quite a lot of pain, and I kept on having this niggling feeling that I'd got to finish teaching. Well, I'd been a head teacher since 1976, and it was getting difficult, really, because of the aches and pains. And so I had this a moment when God spoke to me. I was driving along the A34 with a friend, and I just turned to her and said, I'm finishing. And that's what happened. I walked out of school. I can't believe it now. I'll tell you more about that another time. Then obviously in 1994, I was at home with more time on my hands, and I got involved a lot more with the church, with praying, with Bible study. And one night I was invited along to Salem Church. There was a fellow there called Gypsy Joe Smith, and he was leading a healing service. Well, my health wasn't particularly very good. As I said, I got aches and pains everywhere. But the worst part was my eyes. I hadn't been able to cry for 20 years because I'd got dry eyes. And I went along, and my eyes were awful. They were terrible that night. They were like little slits and swollen. And Gypsy Joe Smith called out people to go for a healing. Well, I didn't think it was me, so I just sat there. But the friend who was sitting next to me went out. And when she came back, I very quietly whispered to her, I can see. I didn't dare believe it. It's like my eyes were open wide and I could see. I'd received a healing while I was sitting in the pew. And I didn't tell anybody, only her. And in fact, I didn't tell anybody for ages, but people began to notice. And then, of course, I started broadcasting and saying, I can see, praise the Lord. The same year, a few weeks later, I went to hear a Malaysian evangelist at Snead Green Anglican Church, St Andrews. I was invited along there, and it was Lydia Chi. And I remember taking a carload of people, and I led the way and went into a pew and sat right at the end when I couldn't possibly get out. I was safe here. But it wasn't long before she was beckoning, and she was going like this, and it was like she was looking right at me. Come on, come out. I just pushed everybody out of the way and went through the pew right down the aisle. I didn't get anywhere near the woman, and I was bowled over by the power of the Holy Spirit. And That was an experience I will never, ever forget in my life, because all I could hear was God saying, "You're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven." And I couldn't move. Sorry about that. Okay, I'll carry on. I couldn't move. And all I remember is that Lydia Chi came over me and she said, "You can have a double portion." Well, that was when I began to change completely. My life was really, really changed. And I began to look back on my life, thinking about the people that had led me all the way. And I remember thinking about my grandparents, and in particularly came to mind about the hymn that she used to sing to me. And it's called "I Found a Friend, Oh Such a Friend." It's a very old hymn and it's old language, but if you follow the words, they're really very meaningful. So Sheila, can we listen to it, please? "Found a Friend." And again, I just want to remind you about what my life had been up till then. I thought I was doing the right thing, remember, by praying and studying the Bible and giving to the church and all these charitable things. But now I know Jesus, and there's a depth to my life. It's just unbelievable. I became full of enthusiasm and excitement, and hymns began to mean more to me. And one in particular, "Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die." I was singing that at Salem one Palm Sunday, and I was convicted. I got to be baptized. So on June the 3rd in 1995, that took place at the Church of Christ in Macclesfield Street at Bursley. And the passage of scripture that was given to me when I came out of the water was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know plans I have for your life, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And life began to take on a totally different meaning. I set out aside every morning, early in the morning. I got up for prayer time and read the Bible. I began to watch more and more teaching videos. I joined Women Aglow and travelled weekly with a carload of people on a Wednesday night to Birmingham to be with their session and to work with the people there. Not getting home till midnight, which, if most people remember me from old, I've always needed a lot of sleep, gone to bed about 9:30, and yet I was just wide awake and driving home at midnight. Unbelievable, really. And invasions of God came into my life and just continued and continued. I'm just going through them quickly now. 1996, I went on a Share Jesus mission. I didn't know a soul, and I went to Oldham. 1997, I went to Pontypool. Still didn't know anybody. I was met up with people there. Again, out of keeping, really, because I like to know people. And then 1998, I went back to Pontypool and went to the King's Church at Newport and met a fella called Ray Bevan. I don't know if any of you know him. Anyhow, all this time, I was running Alpha courses virtually every day, because as soon as I'd done one course, the people on that course wanted to do a follow-up. And then I started a new course. They wanted a follow-up, and the first one wanted a follow-up. So it just went on and on and on and on. And on one of these Alpha courses, along came a young fella, and it was Alan. And in 2000, he came on in September 1999, and we got married the following year, 2000, in September. Again, I can tell you all about that another time, because that's a time and a half, 11 of fantastic years. And then the night that Alan died, he'd been in intensive care for 3 months, and I was there with him virtually all the time. The night he died, I went home, and I remember I was at peace, which is unbelievable. I put my head on the pillow and I remember saying to God, "Right, Father, it's over to you now. I'm not only an orphan, I'm a widow. And you said you will look after the fatherless and you'll be a defender of the widow. And that's Psalm 68, verse 5. So a new chapter began in my life again. God's plan for me had kicked in again. I must point out that it sounds like I've had a real blessed life, which I have, and I don't regret anything that I've told you, because my life has been full of blessing after blessing. But, you know, they always say there isn't a testimony unless you've been tested. And I can tell you, I surely have been tested many, many times with trials, temptations, accused of all kinds of things. But all the time, God's given me strength. And he's just brought me through it. He'd got a plan for my life, and he intended to make sure I had that plan and carried it out. And I just want us to close now with a closing hymn as such. And it's my favourite hymn. It's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So Sheila, can we listen to that, please? Take everything to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all our sins, all our griefs, all our temptations, all our trials. Father, I want to thank you for my life and all the people I've met on life's journey, including all the people here at Bursley Mealing, my Christian family. I pray a blessing on Jim and the leadership team and all the people that join in this fellowship. Father, I pray that you'll pour your Holy Spirit out on all of us. Fill us up to overflowing, that we might be shining lights for you. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name, Jesus, our friend. Amen.